Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers, the fastest man in Northbrook. I'm Jonathan Hood. Cap is off today. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Still to come, Courtney Cronin on the Bears in the NFL. But first, Shot or No Shot, as brought to you by...
Am I supposed to jump in?
Somebody.
Shay.
I can't read it.
Shay, go ahead.
Brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app. You can bet the Kentucky Derby if you want to get a little Kentucky Oaks action today. The Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Both of those things available at Hawthorne Racecourse or the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Good morning, boys. How are we? Jesse, great to see you.
Great to see both of you, as always, doing good. Excited for Mervis Day. How about you, Shay?
I can't wait. I'll be at the game today. I'm excited. I've got some friends in town, so they wanted to check out Wrigley. We're going to go, and it just so happens it's both Justin Steele Day and Mervis Day. Pretty good.
I would assume he's going to start, Jay Hood. You got to bring Steele? Up a kid. You got to – no. The other guy.
Mervis?
You got to start the next savior.
And according to your depth chart you put here on ESPN.com, he's already number one, already starting. It's right there.
Yeah,
you push the veterans to the side. I get it.
That's how excited they are in Bristol. They've made him their number one first baseman.
Unbelievable. I mean, does this kid have like a grace period, a chance? Third of the depth chart, number one.
This is the Cubs. He's the next savior.
You got him in the. You got the lineup ready?
I don't have the lineup, but I will tell you he's in it.
Sixth?
I don't know that he's in it. Yeah, no higher than sixth.
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's about right. Warm day, probably a home run for him.
You would hope so. he'll get a curtain call if he hits a home run.
Oh my God!
You know how Cub fans are.
He just got here.
He's the next Rizzo.
Oh my God! Listen to that.
He kind of looks like Rizzo though.
Shot or no shot? Here's Shay Norling. Shay.
All right, let's start with the Bears, and then, Jesse, I'm going to bust your balls a little bit. Just get ready for that.
Sure.
Yesterday, Black and Abdallah had a great conversation about when it will be appropriate to grade this Bears draft.
Yeah.
It got me thinking a little bit last night about my own expectations for what makes a draft worth the illustrious A grade. So I'm going to ask you both, shot or no shot, for a draft to get an A, you need a first-round pick to get a second contract.
Not solely. So the answer is no shot. It's got to be more than that for me. Yes, you want the first pick to be, you know, a cornerstone for your franchise for the next 10 years. But it's more than that. It's more than that.
I'm going to say no shot as well. There's different ways to get to an A. It could be the first round pick is an all pro for 10 years, or it could be you find five starters on a Super Bowl team. And in a few years, you rate it as an A because of that. You don't rate it right away, but so I think there's different ways to get there. It doesn't have to be just one guy getting a second contract.
So the way I grade it is this: Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle from Tennessee, and this guy should be a guy that could be an anchor on that offensive line. Watching him in the SEC, Jesse, he should be really good. But from there, Dexter, the defensive tackle from Florida, has to be something because the defense for the Bears is really anemic, especially on that line. Mm-hmm. 20 sacks last year.
20?
You got to be better than that, right? So from there, if it's not the corner Stevenson from Miami, it should be Pickens, the defensive tackle from South Carolina. If you're going to get something from the running back, Rashawn Johnson, that's another thing. So to me, you got to hit on at least three or four of your picks out of all the guys that they've been able to take for them to get an A for me.
Let me ask it an opposite way, Shay. Can you get an A if your first round pick turns into a bust?
No.
I don't think so.
No, you can't.
Now, if your second round pick is as good as what your first round pick was supposed to be, there's always a chance. Well, but I think the answer is probably no.
That's so rare
that you're
going to draft a bust and have like a third round perennial all pro. That's where I think in most situations, if you have a first round pick that's not getting a second contract, you probably did a bad job in the first round of the draft. And it's hard to give an A when you do a bad job. Something like 30% of starters in the NFL are first-round picks. You have to hit.
Shay, three of those picks have to be really stellar for me to give this Bears draft an A. At least three.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, that's fair.
Fair, Shay?
Yeah, I think you want to. Like, if you take 10 players, you hope three of them are good.
And I think, and I'll just check them off. I'm hoping it's Wright, Dexter, and Pickens. And if you get anything from the running back spot, but again, I don't expect a lot from Roschon Johnson. I don't. But say, for instance, Stevenson the corner is something. Oh, wait, man. Now, okay, and if not that, then what if Sewell is something? What if Noah Sewell is something at linebacker? Okay, now you got something there.
Yeah, if you get your top picks to hit and then you get a couple diamonds in the rough, that's how you get an A. That's how you get an A.
Shay Norland.
We'll talk to Courtney Cronin in about a half hour, but she has a piece up this morning about the Bears' options at defensive end. She did bring up the possibility that the Bears will go under the radar with short-term options the way they did last year on the offensive line with Riley Reiff and Michael Schofield. Shot or no shot? The Bears need to bring in a potential long-term option at edge rusher this offseason.
That's a shot. That's a shot. Again, I want what's best for this defense. Jesse, I have never seen a defense this bad for the Bears. Never.
No, I think they've set themselves up to at least be in a lot of games because of their offense, but which is fine. This is 2023, 2024. You should be, if you're going to lose 35-32. I don't have a problem with that for 1 year because you know in the next 12 months, he's going to fix the defense or at least attempt to.
So I got no problem with that.
So I'm going to say, yeah, no shot. You don't have to bring one in. That's a long-term fix.
I mean.
But if you do, I'm fine with it, too.
Well, what I'm saying is you got to start somewhere. And I think that the mixture of kids and veterans on this team should help you get to where you got to be. I don't have no problem with it. And again, Cap would say, well, how much does it cost? How many years or whatever? All I'm saying is that if you feel like you're on the way, and this upcoming season, I don't think this is a winning season for the Bears. I don't. It feels like 7 wins. Feel like 6 or 7. So that means out of the playoffs. So in 24, 25, 26 moving forward, you should be a playoff team and be able to know what you have with your young players and your veterans on the team. Yeah. The mixture is going to help.
If they were a little bit better defensively, I might say they could make the playoffs. Like, let's not discount in the NFL especially a chance to surprise. Like, it's not always step by step by step. Sometimes there's a huge leap. And if the defense is a little bit better, I think they could make the huge leap. I don't think they can without it. And so I do think that's what he'll address next.
Yeah, that's like last year, there was never a chance that they were going to make that jump. That this year, there's at least a chance that could happen. So I don't want to see the defensive ends be put together with popsicle sticks and Elmer's glue like the offensive line was a year ago. Go take a swing on someone like Yannick Ngakoue, who might potentially be a longer term option. I don't want to see this like Riley Reiff at defensive end type deal.
A veteran's going to teach the young guys how to win.
I don't want to see it, but it might just happen. And then the next time around, he does everything he can to fix it.
Shane Orley.
Let's hear from Keyshawn Johnson. This morning, he offered an opinion on the NFC North on KJM.
I think when you look at the situation in Justin Fields, he's only going to get better. My good friend Ryan Poles is doing an amazing job in the draft and the offseason and making sure things are being done correctly for Chicago to build in the future. I just think that this is a three-headed division with Minnesota, Green Bay, and potentially Detroit.
Shot or no shot, Keyshawn's right about the North.
I'm going to say no shot. How is Green Bay anywhere close to how is Green Bay that far ahead of the Bears when they're starting a rookie quarterback? How is that possible? And you know what I mean by rookie. He hasn't played. I don't see how that's a shot. If you include Green Bay in the mix with Minnesota and Detroit, then you have to include the Bears. Or don't include either one of them. That's my point.
The Bears are rebuild, though. And trying to make their arrow pointing up.
I'm sorry, until further notice, when you're starting basically a rookie quarterback, they're rebuilt.
Are you saying that Fields is better than Jordan Love?
Yes.
Much better?
He's a much more experienced. Known quantity.
Just asking.
More experienced. And I'm going to assume better. I haven't seen enough of Love to say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say yes. I assume he's better, but he's definitely more experienced.
So now, Shay, we move away from the quarterback and just look at the rosters. And when I look at the Packers, there isn't a lot that, as far as especially skill position. But could you make the case that because they've been together more that they might have a leg up on the Bears, even without Rodgers?
No, I'm not going to say that. Because once you start over with the quarterback, you no longer have that togetherness. It's like starting over.
So I'd agree that Minnesota and Detroit will make the playoffs out of the NFC North.
Take that. I love the Lions.
So that's going to be the case. That is for sure. But now we wonder, what do the Packers look like? Do they go take a major step backwards with Jordan Love? Again, it's the great unknown because I don't know. I have no idea how he's going to work in that offense.
I mean, I maybe I'm in the minority. Out of you three, you tell me, because football is not my thing compared to baseball. I think the Packers were almost all about Aaron Rodgers. They were okay around him, but he made those guys better.
Well, the thing about Aaron Rodgers is, like, everything was about him.
Yeah. He was a prima donna. Trust me on that.
Especially the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah. It wasn't about the Packers. Anytime you talk about the Packers, you talk about what Aaron wants.
And look what the season they had with him last year. It wasn't great. Now what are they going to do without him? Any personnel problems they have will be exposed. Because a great quarterback can cover up a lot of areas.
So you have the Bears as the third best team in the NFC North.
I have them at least equal to the Packers. So if you include the Packers and being in the hunt, then the Bears should be in the hunt. If you don't include the Packers, you don't have to include the Bears.
And if you look at the division odds, you've got the Lions plus 110, the Vikings plus 350, the Bears plus 350, and the Packers plus 500. So right there,
you go.
The betting markets are telling you the Bears the same.
Keyshawn did not look at the betting market when he made that statement.
Well, I will tell you, the thing that shocked me the most about his statement wasn't even that the Bears weren't in the three-horse race. I thought it's Minnesota, Green Bay, and potentially Detroit. Huh? Detroit's the best team in this division. Yeah. There's no debate about it.
Right, for sure.
Why do you say does he not? Is he a golf hater?
What it is it's every. You look at the logo on the helmet,
exactly.
And I think we're all guilty of it. You see the Lions logo, and you just assume they're going to find the way to mess it up, and maybe they will because that's kind of their destiny. But when you're talking about on paper, there's no way this division is a potentially Detroit. They're a prohibitive favorite to win it.
Be more potentially Packers than anything else for me. Potentially Packers. Potentially Bears.
Right. That's the word you should use for those
Bears,
two teams.
Bears. Because I think it's pretty clear that Detroit, it would not surprise me if they won the division. Just based on all the work they put in.
Definitely.
I'm no Dan Campbell fan, but I just understand that from a roster standpoint, they put together something that's pretty special.
And eventually you have to ignore the logo. The Cubs even won the World Series eventually.
Yep.
So maybe it's taken Detroit 20 years, but they finally have found respectability.
Shane Orlick.
All right, Jesse, I'm going to bust your balls.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you've been watching on Twitch this morning, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
I know where this is going.
Brought to you this week by Woodford Reserve. You've probably noticed Jesse's been wearing his sunglasses inside today. He's all show the entire first hour and now into the 8 o'clock, been doing the show with his sunglasses on. Shot or no shot, sunglasses indoors is a douche move.
Oh, there's a shot. There's a shot. I've quoted this before, but I once walked into Joe Maddon's office wearing sunglasses, and he said, without missing a beat, Jesse, only two people wear sunglasses inside. And I'll clean it up a little bit. Blind people and jerks, and you're not blind. And he used a different word, started with an A.
So I want to make sure it's very clear. I've known Jesse since 1992. I don't even know what Jesse's eyes look like. I've only seen him in sunglasses. I've produced Jesse's shows. I've worked for Jesse. I've only seen Jesse in sunglasses.
I don't like people to see into my soul. So it's definitely something I need therapy for. I got to wear the sunglasses inside. It's mostly because I'm just tired. Any light at all bothers me.
That's weird, though, because you'll also do that at night.
Well, the truth. So that's not much of an explanation.
No, it's not. So,
but use that one. Only blind people and A-hole. Can I say that?
Yeah, A-holes,
A-holes. And you're not blind, Jesse.
listen. It doesn't bother me because I've only seen Jesse in sunglasses.
Exactly. It's normal for you.
Yeah. think about this, Shay. We've produced shows together. I've worked for Jesse. Like all this, and he's always been sunglasses.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And you know, at dinners, at daytime, midday.
I don't know if I've worn it at dinner.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Can you imagine, like, hitting on a girl or a woman at a bar and you're wearing sunglasses? I mean, that's got to be run for the hills signaling right there.
That's the way. I mean, Jesse's been that way, so it didn't bother me.
It's so funny.
He's got a little stern in him in that regard. That's
why. So.
I mean, there's a lot of stern in him, but that's fine. It didn't bother me. I don't know what his eyes look like. Around the NFL is right around the corner, and don't forget, we'll also hear from Courtney Cronin at 8:35. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Welcome back!
Well,
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts the comment and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Twitch this week is brought to you by Woodford Reserve, the presenting sponsor of the Kentucky Derby with more than 200 flavor notes in every sip. Woodford Reserve as a spectacle for the senses. Please drink responsibly. There you go. There's that Woodford Reserve. Like, would you like to hold the bottle?
I'd like to open the bottle.
Well, go ahead. Would you like to just...
Cap will kill you.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to take it home with me.
Oh, Cap will end your life.
That's mine.
He's not here.
Yeah, what's he going to do about it, right? So there you go.
That's true. Like, extended shot or no shot here. That bottle will still be there when Cap gets back from Europe.
That's a shot.
No shot.
No chance.
No shot.
No, I'm going to keep sipping out of it. Then you can have it after that. You can have my backwash.
All he wants is the label anyway.
I haven't heard you do a Carmen imitation. Do a Whiskey Wednesday. Do you have a Carmen in you? Whiskey Wednesday,
sure.
Carmen?
Sure, absolutely.
Let me hear it.
Woodford Reserve. You know, I think it's good. I heard it was good. I don't know. I mean, it'd be good. It might be good. It might not be so good. It might have 200 notes. It might have 100 notes. I'm not really sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm hearing good things about it's pretty good. I don't know.
Yurko, say something.
Here's Shay Dorling. Shay?
All right, boys, let's go around the National Football League.
Go Bill, the NFL, go the
according
XFL.
To according to the Washington Post, Bill Belichick took less value on his first round trade with the Steelers intentionally just to F the Jets.
Oh.
He knew that the Jets wanted Broderick Jones, so he took a lesser value trade with the Steelers so that the kid the Jets wanted would be off the board.
You know what? He should let that go, this whole thing with the Jets. And, you know, it's so funny because you have to really know the history of the man to know how personal he takes things and does it just for a laugh internally. You'll never see him outwardly talking about it, but internally, he's chuckling.
The man is comfortable in his own skin and position to admit that, right?
Yes.
Or leak that or whatever. Because you're not supposed to be taking lesser than trades, no matter who it's for or with or whatever.
Why is he like this, Shay? Why is he like this?
Because he can be. That's my point.
I listened to a little Boston radio the other day, and they were talking about it's time for Belichick to step aside.
Ooh.
And the narrative and the drumbeat of this Patriots season is going to be they're going to start 2-6, and everybody's going to ask the question, is this guy really going to get fired? And I do see this season going that way for the Patriots.
There's
I think this is it for
no
him.
Chance he gets fired.
Maybe not fired, but it's going to be the mutual parting of ways.
It might be a bad mutual parting, like an almost fire, but I don't think it's going to be an out-and-out fire. You know what I mean?
This all stems from if the owner and the head coach can't get along.
Which, with Belichick, is always a possibility, right?
After all these years.
I mean, I'm sure Kraft and Belichick have butted heads a lot, but there's that mutual respect thing.
Watch this.
He's just not going to get fired, like, mid-season.
Abdallah, where are you going? You see him across the street there.
I see him.
By Chick-fil-A.
He's going to get a morning breakfast sandwich.
He's listening to us, or he is.
Or he's not.
But yeah, he might have some music on.
Yeah.
There he is across the street. All right, Jay.
Wonderful. Let's hear from Chris Ballard on the secrecy that the Colts had about their draft strategy.
So look, we don't talk about these quarterbacks outside of spring. I don't want any discussion about these quarterbacks. Not with your buddies, not with your friends. I don't. Like, not with your, like my wife, she'll turn that camera.
From a documentary released by the Colts, that's Chris Ballard saying his wife didn't know anything about who they were taking.
I like it.
Nor should she.
I like it. Right? One less person that'll leak something. You want to keep it to yourself? This is the way you do it. You shut it down.
Hold on a second. Would you tell your spouse what you're doing in the draft? I wouldn't.
I probably would not. I say probably.
First of all, you leave it at the doorstep. That's number one. Don't bring it to the house.
Right.
Once you open that door, honey, how was your day? It's like, you know how my day was. How was your day?
Not only that, I mean, look, our wives would not care at all.
That is true.
So why would you give them information they don't even care about, which could end up being leaked? Because they wouldn't even know how not to leak it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because they're just not in that world.
That is true.
I don't think that.
I'm talking about my own wife.
That's on mine as well. Yeah, okay. No, Peacock would not care who I'm drafting.
Exactly.
She wanted to know, hey, did the check clear?
Exactly. Right.
That's all she wants to know.
Exactly. Did you do the dishes?
Yeah.
Okay. Draft whoever you want.
But whatever your job is, looks like you're doing well because I see the direct deposit come in, so it looks like you're doing fine. Right. So whatever you're doing, I guess it's okay. But as far as getting the weeds of what I do, absolutely not.
No. So, but maybe his wife would be interested. Either way, it's just like telling anybody, a friend is no different. It's a potential leak. So I get it.
And actually, Shay, when you think about it, when it comes to Chris Ballard, he won't tell his wife. Hopefully he won't tell the owner because Jim Irsay will just spout it out. He'll just open it up and just tell everybody.
Right at the press conference. We're taking Anthony Richardson at number four. I mean, on a bender, right?
I think that's what was the case.
After Mario Karting around town.
All right. What else do we have?
We've got Peter Skoronski talked about his meeting. He talked to Dan Pompey of The Athletic. Mm-hmm. Talked about his meeting with the Falcons. He said, Arthur Smith was on me the second I got in there. I was giving them generic answers to their questions, and he said, quote, you're really boring me right now. Your answers are so boring. The whole meeting, he kept looking at his computer. I was kind of laughing to myself, said, sorry, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm answering you honestly.
Not a good look.
For who?
Yeah, for who? That's my question.
For who, Jess? Is that a good look?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, think of it like this. Like, okay, so it's a tough situation. You're a young person, right? I know that we're still making mistakes in our 50s.
Yeah.
But think about Skoronski at that age. Do you answer the question based on what the person wants to hear or what's the truth? It's a job interview.
Yeah.
And so you want to put your best foot forward.
True.
And some would say, I better answer the question based on whether or not he or she likes it. Or you tell the truth and say, I don't know. Could you imagine be like going in an interview like, it's a good question, I'm not really sure. Does the person asking the question respect the honesty? Or they be like, this guy is a dummy?
Probably the second thing. As much as you'd like to be honest, probably the second thing.
See, that's always the tough thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, we're going for a job. You want to be able to answer the questions as entertaining or as introspective as possible? Or do you want to answer just based on getting a vibe of the person on the other side of the desk?
Right. If that honesty can lead to something positive that comes out of it, I guess it's maybe better to be honest, but you don't know that at the time. Meaning if they go back to their office and say, okay, that guy was honest with you. He told us what he knows and what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good start for him. But if you're just saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, that's not going to look good.
Like when I interviewed with you, I lied. But I got the job anyway.
Got the job.
Because I'm Jazz Hands Entertaining.
I'm an easy mark.
Yeah, Jazz Hand Jones. That's me. Here's Shay Norley.
Debo Samuel, 49ers wide receiver, talked to Complex.com, said some interesting things about the Super Bowl. Oh. He said the Eagles are his most hated team, and he's sick of hearing people say the Eagles were better than the 49ers last year or will be better than them this year. He said all the trash talk coming from the Eagles fan base and the players, you just get tired of that. He said no question the 49ers were the better team and added, quote, we lost because we played with 10 people.
Oh, it's a shot at the quarterback.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Does he not know what Philadelphia is all about? Of course they're going to be jerks online and everywhere else, right? It's Philadelphia.
That's a pretty stiff quote right there. Doctor, you just went after... Okay, well...
Am I wrong?
No, I mean...
You remember Brock Purdy went back in that game and didn't attempt more... I think he attempted like one 4-yard pass.
I can live with what Debo said about playing with 10 players. He's right.
God,
that doesn't mean they would have won.
I mean, Brock Purdy, he's out there injured. He did the best job he could. Who's the backup out there?
I can't remember for the life of me. Yeah, it was
Johnson.
Yes, Josh Johnson.
Yeah,
but it was that's what he's. I don't think he's taking a shot at Purdy. I think he's saying if Purdy never gets hurt, we win that game.
Yeah, that's what he's saying for sure. But I mean, to not understand that Philly's going to be jerks about things, that's what Philly's all about. Well,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You talk about a window being open too. By the way. Eagles right back in there again.
Well, Eagles were good to start the season. They were good to finish it, and they're going to be good next year.
All right, Shay, can you squeeze in one more before Courtney?
Yeah, let's take a listen to Lamar Jackson, who's back in Baltimore and excited about it.
I'm very eager. very easy left arm, to be honest with you. You know, I think I told someone, like, man, I want to throw for like 6,000 yards with the weapons we have. Like, you know, and I'm not an individual award type of guy or stat watcher. You know, I just want to do that, you know, because no one ever done it. And I feel like we have the weapons to do it. You know, we got explosive guys. And like Coach said, Nelson, you know, the new addition, Zay, OBJ. And we got Bateman going to be 100% healthy. Dude's going to be healthy, you know. So it's going to be, can't forget about Mark. I can't forget about my boy Mark. And, you know, likely, so it's, just can't wait to get rolling.
Jay Moore, I don't know if you, did you see the picture of Lamar Jackson or watch the press conference?
Oh, yeah, I checked it out.
He let his hair out. Did you see that? The braids are out.
Yeah, well, after all that bread, you can let your hair down.
Yeah, pretty much. He should just let it. I mean, there it is, Jesse. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just let it out. So you just know he's comfortable. Yeah.
I'm jealous.
He's got a young man with a full head of hair. You know, I just keep it like that, though. But I guess, is that cumbersome for the helmet? Is that the reason why he's got to go back to twisting it up, Jay? I mean, because that's what it looks like to me. Looks good.
That's just the money look.
That's good. He looks happy.
Happy.
Yeah, man.
Didn't Kaepernick have an all-out afro under his helmet?
Yeah,
you could put anything under there.
Dude, I don't know how he did that. He had a huge afro, Kaepernick. I remember that.
Yep.
Took the helmet off and it just flopped out of there.
Are you like me? Is your wish that Justin Fields becomes peak Lamar Jackson when he was at his best a few years ago? The run game and the pass game. That's what I mean. If he does, we're golden.
Surpassing Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, if you surpass him, then we're really golden.
Well, Lamar's never really been a high level passer.
No, but there was a moment in time. There was a moment in time where that combo worked, though. He passed just enough
to surpass what he does.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And less running yards, please. Less rushing for Justin.
Right.
That's no doubt.
Because that's the only way you stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, because if he's a doppelganger of Lamar Jackson, that means a possibility for another injury for Justin.
True.
And if he runs more, that means the offensive line still is bad and the weapons did not work, especially with DJ Moore. So that's the hope there. All right, that's our look around the National Football League right here on ESPN 1000. Coming up, Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and a question mark about what the Bears could do defensively. That's coming up on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox failed to complete the sweep yesterday as the Sox lose against the Minnesota Twins. Some thoughts from Sox starter Lucas Giolito.
Not too much different. I mean, I felt okay. I didn't feel like super explosive today, but my fastball had good life on it. Sevy did a great job, you know, kind of recognizing what the hitters were looking for. It looked like they were trying to hit my changeup, so it's kind of been a theme this year. So we threw a lot of sliders. Slider was working well, so a lot of fastball slider combo, and able to get through lineup.
Yeah, Giolito had the no decision, and the Sox lose 7-3 to take on the Cincinnati Reds. A 5:00 start, 5:40 first pitch right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Cubs lost yesterday to the Nationals 4-3 to fall to 15-16 on the season. Matt Mervis has been called up for today's game at Wrigley at 1:20 against the Miami Marlins. Alabama has fired their head baseball coach in a gambling scandal. Also, Golden State over the Lakers 127-100. That series is tied at 1. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Kevin J. Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Jesse's in for Cap. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great. It's beautiful out this morning. How are you guys doing?
It is. Isn't it wonderful?
Finally.
Tracy.
I know, we made it.
Tracy Butler made that for you, just for you, a beautiful Friday forecast. It was just awesome.
That's why you guys have her on. Like, she just makes it happen.
She's great, isn't she? I want to talk to you about your column that you wrote on ESPN.com. And while we have our conversation with Courtney, go to ESPN.com. The piece entitled, How Will the Bears Address Their Edge Rusher Void? Courtney, we've been talking for weeks how I was just totally disappointed in the Bears' defense, even though the team was built by design to be able to get to this point. Three-win ball club, trying to build towards something. But it was the worst defense of my lifetime, where I thought at times the Bears' defense made some business decisions in some games, I thought. So how can they be able to do this? What stands out about their defense as is before they can add someone else?
Well, I think they've upgraded personnel-wise at the linebacker spot with the two additions in free agency. And then, you know, getting another corner in the mix last week was really important. I think to have somebody opposite Jalen Johnson, and we don't know. I mean, Jalen doesn't have a contract extension yet. We'll see how Ryan Poles wants to handle that. But you got to be thinking about the now and in the future. And if you can continue to plug pieces into this defense that fit all of the criteria that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus look for, and we know that they draft on traits. Most teams will say that they want players that are big, long, and fast. I think that that's the sign of a good football player, but they really came away checking the boxes, at least on paper, of guys with all those traits. But you look at this defense where it ended the 2022 season and where it stands now, and of course the glaring void is that they didn't come away with an edge rusher during the draft. And I think there's some rationale to it. If you heard Matt Eberflus talk about why the interior pass rush is so important and denting the pocket and, you know, creating shorter edges for the guys coming off the edge to try to get around and sack the quarterback, it all feeds into the overall formula of how you create a pass rush, but it still doesn't take away the fact that there is a big need to have an edge rusher to go upgrade that spot, because you're going into the season with, as stands right now, Dominique Robinson and Travis Gibson are your only two productive pass rushers. And I say that kind of lightly because the sack totals and the quarterback hits and all of that stuff was not there, but they're the only returning two guys right now. So it's clearly a need, and it's one they have to address in the next couple months.
One area in your column you mentioned is via trade, and I'll take a healthy change of scenery, Chase Young, any day of the week. But I wasn't sure reading your column if you're saying it's going to take a first-round pick to get him. Like, what would it take to get Chase Young, and would they be interested, you think?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if he was – there was no better time to move him for Washington than last week, because you could have used some of that draft capital that you got in return for Chase Young on the roster now, and this is a team that, you know, is in the process of being sold and bought, and who knows what that's going to do to the current coaching staff and the players being put potentially on you-got-to-win-now sort of notice. So maybe they end up keeping him there, giving him a prove-it year, and then he ends up making getting a big contract from Washington in the future. But I just feel like since we didn't see any movement last week, and he is a former first-round pick, I know he's coming off the two seasons with injury, I think the asking price is too high. And in no way, shape, or form can the Bears, in most teams, but specifically the Bears, Ryan Poles got that extra first-round pick next year for a lot, for leverage, for security. Like, and I'm not at all thinking this will happen, but if Justin Fields doesn't pan out, then you have the two first round picks, the extra pick to give you leverage to go get a quarterback next year. So in no way would I give up a first round pick to get Chase Young. I think the longer this thing goes on, and they very well, since they weren't able to move him during draft and before the May 2 deadline, where that's where teams can decline or pick up an option. Like, teams don't have an incentive to trade for him now, because you don't have the extra, you know, 2 years more or less on the rookie contract to work with, and then if you end up panning out, being able to extend him, it gets more costly. So if you let it play out to training camp, and if it's just not working for him in Washington, there's always trades, at least once or twice during training camp, where you see a player who had been sitting around, either like didn't get the option picked up, didn't sign the franchise tag, things like that. And that's how they get moved. And actually, like, in terms of an edge rusher, I saw this happen in Minnesota in 2020 when Yannick Ngakoue got traded from Jacksonville to Minnesota right at the start of training camp. So it's possible that they go that route with a team to try to address the edge rusher position in a couple months, but I don't think that the trade, especially if there was one involving Chase Young, would happen now. It just doesn't make sense.
Real quick, you did slide in there the idea of keeping draft capital in case Fields didn't work out. I'm sure people had a heart attack reading that.
Yeah, of course. They always do. You can't reason with people when they see something and go nuts.
But what's interesting is think about it. It would suck if it happened. It'd be feel like it's starting over, but maybe not. Think about this real quick. If they build this team around Fields and then he does falter, maybe you just go out and get a veteran and take a shot at a run to the Super Bowl instead of starting over with a rookie. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know that this general manager, though, with the way that his philosophy is that the draft is the lifeline of your franchise, and I think that would be a move. Like, because we don't know what this roster is going to look like in 24. This is not, and I've said this a lot, this is not the year to contend in 2023. It's the year to get closer to contending. And if you're in a spot next year, like, even if the roster is in a point where, okay, we think that we can push for the playoffs this year if you're the Bears, I think that could potentially be a knee-jerk reaction where, you know, teams don't win with rookie quarterbacks early on. That's just proven that it takes time. But I think that they, with the draft capital that they have, would want to give themselves the opportunity to draft their guy, their quarterback, have him on a rookie wage scale, and then be able to, you know, give yourself the 5 years potentially with the option to build around that quarterback. But I mean, Jesse, I understand the rationale. I don't think this roster will be at a point good enough yet, because they're going to be at the beginning point, if all goes well, of contending next year. I don't know that they would go the veteran quarterback route, at least if you're just projecting it out right now. If everything fell apart around Justin Fields this year with his play, which, you know, certainly they put him in position to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show. See you next week.
Yeah, I'll be in with you on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
There you go.
Courtney Cronin is with us here. On the
car, got out of it.
On the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, boom, 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 boom. Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Jesse acting like this is prison being here. I got out of it. Come on.
I got out of double duty is the point.
That's good.
I got to be at all those Cubs-Cardinals affairs, but I'll be here next Thursday and Friday.
No, it's totally fine for me. I mean, the less of you, the better. Coming up next.
Sounds like my wife.
We will. One of the best coaching jobs in sports is available. It became available yesterday. We'll talk about it coming up next with Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
You're just a mess. Just a mess. I mean, God forbid you have to lift up your glasses. Lift up the sunglasses
to do the live read.
Oh, excuse me. That's right.
I need my reading glasses to do the live read, not the sunglasses.
Oh, those are not prescription, huh?
No, they're not.
What a shock.
I know, right. Oh, they should be. It is a shock, actually.
You're wearing them all the time. You should be able to read through them, too, pal. Along with Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in on this Friday morning. So we heard the news, Jesse, that Mike Budenholzer was let go by the Milwaukee Bucks. And what happened is, with that firing, is that is one of the plum jobs, not in the NBA, in sports. Think about it. Whoever gets that job will be able to coach one of the best players in the league. Some would say that Giannis is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, it depends on your view. But, I mean, if nothing else, top three, top four. Think about it. Budenholzer becomes the head coach of an NBA champion and a perennial playoff team. But you cannot lose to an 8th seed.
Okay? No doubt.
So he lost the Heat in a 1-8 scenario. And it's a weird timing, too, because in the playoffs, Mike Budenholzer lost his brother. Passed away.
Right.
And he still coached anyway. And it's kind of like, geez.
I mean, and then he gets fired. It's pretty cold.
On top of that, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's Budenholzer and the Bucks, you know, both saying, okay, we're going to part ways. But either way, though, that's a tough profession. You're an NBA champion, perennial playoff team, coaching Giannis. Yeah, you're fired.
And I think it brings up a good question. You know, it applied to Joe Maddon and even Ozzie Guillen. How long is the post-honeymoon, the post-championship honeymoon?
Mm-hmm.
How long should it be? How long should you get? In Madden's case, he went pretty much to the end of the run, and then they started a new rebuild, and they didn't let him see himself through it. And now Ross is kind of taking the rebuild, and it's his turn. And Ozzie got a few years after that. But what is the right amount of time? It's not that long ago the Bucks won the championship. So apparently it's not that long. You don't get that long of a post-championship honeymoon.
To Jesse's point, three of the last four NBA title-winning coaches have been fired. Nick Nurse, fired. Frank Vogel, fired. And now Mike Budenholzer, fired.
Yes. Tough profession, like you said.
We'll put the old asterisk on the Vogel with the bubble championship with the Lakers. But here's the thing, though. I think that is a plum job. And some would say, oh, it's Milwaukee. Why would you go? No. It's because Giannis is there. Here's the difference between Giannis and most NBA players, most athletes. I'm just saying today, and my opinion may change by the time his contract's up. Here's a guy here that's not part of the AAU culture. He actually likes Milwaukee. How about that? He actually wants to play in Milwaukee. He feels like here's a guy here that was in the middle of the draft. That was not a number one pick, Jess. Middle of the draft. Likes Milwaukee. Likes how it's kind of less like a chill city. It's not the bright lights of Chicago or New York or Los Angeles. He likes growing his family there. He likes being a Buck. And I just think that for the first time, he flexed with his power, saying, you know what? Maybe it's time for a change.
Maybe so. You know, you mentioned like the city and stuff. I never hear of coaches caring about what city as long as they get hired. You know what I mean? Like, I get for young guys, big city, have fun. For some of them, Giannis is liking the smaller one. But you don't hear many 50-year-old coaches, oh, I got to be in New York, so the nightlife, you know. So I don't think it's tough to attract a great coach to Milwaukee, especially because you have Giannis there in his prime.
So what if that coach is Jay Wright, the old Villanova coach?
I don't know if I would go that route if I was Milwaukee, but you tell me.
I mean, that's just a name. I mean, there's a guy here that's probably ready for the next level. You saw how well he did with Villanova.
What if they steal Billy Donovan?
They can have. No, actually, that's not fair. No, but I look at. But here's the thing. This has got to be a home run hire.
Yeah, oh boy.
It cannot be just some young assistant because it's Giannis. Like, this team was on the precipice of winning another championship. It didn't happen this year. Right. Giannis was out for a couple of games, so that hurt the Bucks' chances of getting past the eighth seed, a hot Jimmy Butler in Miami. But this hire has to be pretty spectacular, I would say.
I would imagine Giannis is in on the interviews or right outside the door.
Sure.
Right? I mean, he's got to be heavily involved. That's the way it works in this day and age with star players. So, yeah, this is the next coach is going to coach him and this team through his prime.
What is
the rest of his prime?
Shay, is there Vegas odds? Like Nick Nurse would be the favorite. That'd be like 3-1 odds, wouldn't it? Former Toronto coach. And then
I think
Jay Wright is on that list as well. I think one of their assistants is on that list, the one of the Bucks' assistants to move over 18 inches. I believe that he's on that list as well. But this should not be. And then, of course, on the outside looking in, the OLI is Mark Jackson. And I don't know if he'll ever be a head coach again after his time at Golden State.
The Steph stories about dancing on his ankle. Just hop on it, young lad. The Lord will fix it. A little rough for Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
The likeliest coaching candidates right now, Charles Lee, Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, and Mike D'Antoni.
No.
Let's get our bosses on the line. Get the scoop from them.
Craig?
Yeah.
You think
good karma people.
I think he would know.
He'd have a better idea than you and I.
Yeah, I think he has an idea who the next head coach is. I think that's interesting. Yeah, for those that don't know, the owner of Good Karma Brands is part owner of the Bucks.
He has a little taste of the Bucks, so it'll be interesting. But you're right, the next hire is huge for them because, you know, they have a championship, great. But like any team that's fully formed, you want to keep going. And getting bounced in the first round is just so disappointing.
Jess, this is a huge hire because you're coaching Giannis.
If you're a Bulls fan, you hope they get it wrong really badly.
all right, so we talked about odds when it comes to the new head coach for the Bucks. What about betting, sports betting? Is sports betting ruining sports? Is sports betting ruining our sports? Now, we'll explain that because there's a huge story in the Southeastern Conference. It will tell you about it. If you missed it, we'll tell you about it in 2 minutes and get your reaction right here on Cap and J Hood.